Well, I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons as we learn about our neural pathways and dendrites. And I hope you enjoyed last week's message about do not be double-minded. We've all known that passage has been in the book of James forever, but I have battled great assaults of doubt in my life trying to follow God. And it is so wonderful now to have a better understanding of what that really is. You know, what causes a double-mindedness? And if you didn't hear last week's message, I hope you will hear it, because where we're going today, we just don't have a lot of time for review. But in essence, you have a spiritual mind that you received when you got born again. And the Bible calls it the mind of Christ. That means it's a mind created in His image that is capable of understanding the things of God. And but you have a natural brain, which is more like the calculator or maybe a computer, that is really a good tool. You know, this natural brain that He gave us is really a good tool, but it's pretty limited. It is limited to the things of this world. The natural mind will never really understand the things of God. In fact, the Bible says it can't. And so if we're going to live by sight, by experience, you know, just based on what we touch, feel, see, that type of thing, then we're going to live a very unsupernatural life. We've been teaching about this for a long time. In fact, I think this is lesson 13 on recoding the brain. And the subtitle on this one is interesting. But we're going to talk about supernatural neural pathways. Did you know it's possible for, you know, we've taught a lot especially in the beginning of this series about what neural pathways are, and they're often called dendrites. These are the pathways in between the cells of your brain where information passes. It's basically what we call knowledge, you know, and wisdom also comes from that. Knowledge is, wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so we've been teaching a lot about that. Now, the natural brain is pretty much limited to this natural world. Now, today there's going to be some review. I'll tell you, you can go ahead and be opening up your Bibles or your device, your Bible app device, or Bible device app, to Romans chapter 5. And we'll be backing up into chapter 4 and into chapter 5 a little bit today. Because the Lord's been talking to me. You know, he just said to me the other day, he says, you know, you have, talking to me personally, Gary, son, you know that you have dendrites that were caused by supernatural intervention. And I go, no, I didn't know that, actually. You know, and so he started talking with me and explaining to me more about this. And he brought it finally around to this passage here, the transition from Romans chapter 4 to Romans chapter 5, talking about Abraham, and really it has everything to do with hope. I guess we'll do that first. So we're going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Thank God for that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice how hope is first. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right? Notice faith and hope go together. Without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. And we'll back up here and see this in a very practical way in the life of Abraham. So first, though, here we start with hope, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, specifically, the glory of God is really hard to define the Bible. Anyway, I've done a lot of studies on that. In the context of these lessons, what the hope that I'm talking about is this. All this is Joel's army, where all of us, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, are going to all be used by God as soldiers in His army. And that means He's going to be using us supernaturally. Because He said that those of us that believe, and that, you know, that's not the fivefold, that's us who believe. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper is going to cast out devils. The believers, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, they maybe they're not in the fivefold. They're going to cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I mean, this is amazing things, you know. This is supernatural. You know that can't happen without the co-laboring, the working together with God. And anyway, we've done a lot of teaching along those lines. So let's, this hope on the, for today's lesson, and really it would apply though in anything. If you were believing God for healing, if you were believing God for finances, you got to find your hope first. Where do you find it? In the Word of God. Or you find it when He speaks to you something, like He's spoken to us and told us certain things that gave us hope. Well, it starts with hope. Okay, let's go on here. And verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So first you have hope. Ah, this is how it's going to be. Wait, tribulations. Doesn't look like that's how it's going to be. It's nearly always comes. Problems, interference, circumstances. You can be healed. Oh, it doesn't feel like it. You can be prospered. I can't even pay my light bill. Tribulations of all kinds. You know, it could be persecution for righteousness' sake, but trouble. Okay. Hope. Now notice the sequence. There's hope, tribulations, problems, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Can I say stay the course? Don't surrender. Don't lose hope. Hang on to what God said. Patience, endurance, the first prophecy that was ever given through Pastor Dave at the Family Prayer Center. They had it written in big letters, and on the, when you walked in the foyer, the front door at the prayer center, the first thing on the right was this big prophecy. Endurance is the key. Boy, have we found that to be true. Endurance is the key. No matter the tribulations, we have hope. God spoke. He said something. We have hope. Ooh, trouble, tribulations, problems. What should I do? Have patience. Endure. Don't give up on what God said. Now notice what happens. But now patience, if you don't give up, what's the next thing? Experience. Now listen, he's talking about experience. Experience means experience. You know what it means? You have it. You touch it. You handle it. The money came. The pain left. The revival came in your service. Signs and wonder. Whatever it is that the hope was, suddenly, it's experience. Now listen. Listen to this part. I'm preaching ahead of myself, but listen. When the experience happens, when it happens, neural pathways occur. Even in your 3.5-pound brain, even in your natural gray matter 3.5-pound brain, when experience, see this, how does this thing work? I will believe it when I see it. That's not how faith works, but that's how the gray matter works. I'll believe it when I see it. So first off, you're operating in something higher than that law of by sight. Okay, we believe it because God said it. What? What? That's not possible. We'll get into some examples here in a minute. But first is hope, something God said. Okay, whether it's in the written word or whether it's something He said to you. Okay, we're going to do that. Trouble, tribulation, problems, target on your back. No, we'll show you. No, you're not going to have that. Now what do you got to do in the midst of your trouble? Patience, endurance. I know what God said. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to believe anything else. I'm going to hang on to what God said. You know, sometimes it lasts a while. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes shorter. But if you don't quit, look what it says. Experience. And I'm telling you, when the experience comes, when the money comes, when the healing comes, when the miracles come, when the supernatural service comes, whatever, when your children repent and say, I love Jesus. I'm off of drugs. I'm off of alcohol. I love Jesus. When the experience comes, that's when neural pathways are created, even in your 3.5-pound brain. And you know what happens then? First is hope, then trouble, then endurance, patience. You've got to stand. When you've done all to stand, stand. That's going to produce experience. When experience comes, there's a rewriting. There's new pathways in your, even in your gray matter brain. You know what that's going to produce? Hope for the next thing. I remember, I've heard many ministers say that, I remember one of them in particular says, I remember in the early days I couldn't hardly believe God for $100. He said, but after 40 years of walking and serving and trusting and obeying God and seeing what all he's done, he said, it's easier for me today to believe God for $1 million than it was to believe for $100 in the early days. Why is that? Began with hope. Step out in faith. Trouble's going to come. You got to persevere. You got to endure because this natural world is going to resist. And plus, there's a whole kingdom of darkness that's going to resist. But if you patiently endure, you're going to have experience. That experience, maybe it's $100. Okay. Neural pathways are created now because it's something in the natural that happened. See? Next time, $500. Next time, $1,000. You could do it for 40, 50 years. God will send $1 million as easy as he'll send 100. See, I've mentioned that in my own life. I remember how scary it was in the early days, instructions that God gave Sue and I on how to do the ministry. We'd never heard of any ministry operating like that, where you give everything away free. You don't even include a return. And I'm not against any. I hope every time you hear me say this, that you've heard me say, I'm not against any of these things. It's okay to sell your tape. And nowadays it would be I started to say a CD, but that's pretty well obsolete now too. I stream everything. They sell their MP3s, some of them. Well, or their videos. It's not wrong to do that or send out appeal letters. I mean, I had to help a missionary evangelist guy and that I really love over in Poland one time because he was trying to imitate what God told me. I said, "What did God tell you to do that?" And he said, "No." I said, "Listen, nobody even knows you're over here." Anyway, I don't want to go into all that, but I helped him write an appeal letter for his ministry. I said, "People will help if they knew what you're doing. They don't even know you're here." And so sure enough, wrote the appeal letter. Finances begin to come in. We didn't promise people anything that's, you know, outlandish, like if you give, God will pay off your mortgage or something like that. But just, you know, here's what we're doing. If you want to help us, here's your opportunity. Here's how you do it. Sure enough, it changed the flow of the finances. Okay. I'm not against any of these things. I just know what he told us. He told us, don't sell any tapes, don't take up any offerings. Now, we can receive offerings if we go. It's free will if they want to. But for us, we're not supposed to sell anything. Don't even put in a return envelope. Don't send any appeal letters. Those of you that's been on our mailing list for years, you know you've never received anything along the lines of, if you don't give, our car is going to quit. If you don't give, whatever. You know, and you don't ever get none of that. Because he told us to only let him know what our needs were. And he said, if we would obey those instructions, he would speak to the hearts of the people he chose to support us and the needs of the ministry. And he's been doing it over a quarter century now. So we do our part. God does his part. Okay. So I remember, though, in those early days when I started getting those instructions, how my natural 3.5-pound brain argued, said, this will not work. And to be honest, we shared with a few friends, really people that love us, and they lovingly said, this won't work. We've never heard of any ministry doing it like this. I go, I haven't either. But we see, the trouble is I knew what God said. I knew because, you know, Pastor Dave had done a good job and taught us how to do it. And so we did it. And when God spoke and we got his instructions, but that doesn't mean there wasn't doubts. I'm telling you, doubts came like machine gun bullets. Now I understand what's going on there. I had received an instruction in my spiritual mind. Remember that lesson about servants upon horses? The prince is supposed to be on the horse. That's the royalty. That's your spirit man that's been born of God. That he's made you a king and a priest. You are royalty. You're supposed to be the one making the decisions. The horse represents the direction of your life. You're the one with the reins. Here's what we're going to do. The natural brain, what we call the soul sometimes, you know, the mind, the will, the emotions, that guy is supposed to be the servant. running alongside to help in the natural, to go do this, go do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But that 3.5-pound brain is the servant. It is not supposed to be up on the horse directing your life. No, you get your direction in the spirit man, and you get it by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Whew. I'm liking this already myself. But I do remember how scary it was in the early days, stepping out. I had hope. Well, where did that hope come from? God says, if you do this, I'll do that. That's where the hope came from. It came from God. It's this, back up into chapter 4. Let's look at Abraham. It's the same way with him. I used to read this and just wish I was like this, you know. Let's start in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He's talking about Abraham here now, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. See, this is the promise. This is what God said to Abraham. He took him outside the tent. Look up at the stars. Your seed is going to number like that, Abraham. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means I am the father of many nations. Well, he had hope. He had a vision. Now, him and Sarah had never had a single child themselves. You know, eventually they produced one through Hagar. That was a big mistake. Still paying the price for that today. The whole world is. But anyway, where did the hope come from? God gave him the hope. God told him he's going to make him the father of many nations. Took him out, gave him a vision, painted the image on his brain. Your seed is going to number like that. But see, when, soon as that's over and you go look in the mirror, you're 99 years old and your wife is 90. Now, that was later on. They had this promise for about a quarter century, I think, maybe a little longer. And it hadn't come to pass yet. Well, now you look in the mirror, you're 99, your wife is 90. She's past the time of ovulation. I mean, past the time of the way of women. She's not even producing eggs to be fertilized anymore. And we learn about him. He's not such a hot rod because Sarah says, am I going to have pleasure again from my husband, him being so old? Very nice way of letting you know he wasn't a hot rod he used to be either. This is, see, in the natural, when it says, who against hope believed in hope, there was no natural hope. He had to set himself against that. In the natural, there was no hope. But in the spirit, there was hope. Why? God said. God said. Okay? So, against hope, he believed in hope. I'm not looking at this natural thing that says there's no hope. There is hope, because God said. That he might become. See, and only by believing what God said was there any hope of him becoming the father of many nations. Okay, so let's go into verse 19. Oh, I used to admire this verse. I so wanted to be like this, especially in the early days when we were just starting out. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Okay, so there's no hope. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she wasn't even ovulating anymore, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. Oh, I want to be like that, God, in the early days. I want to be like that, being fully persuaded. What he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, and it continues on. Thank God for the whole Bible, because in the early days, I would just throw up my hands and go, oh, well, I'm not like that. Every time I try and believe God, my mind is full of doubts. I have all these reasonings, and this won't work, and that won't work. And, you know, I talked myself out of obeying God the first time when he told us to go full-time because of that very thing. I have a car payment. I have a wife with an eating habit. Lord, she wants to eat every day, some days more than once. You know, blame it on my wife. How will we pay our bills? The problem was right here, buddy. It wasn't my wife. How are we going to pay our bills? What? I staggered it. I wish I was like Abraham. Thank God for the whole Bible, because later on he got me to meditating and, you know, again, I was just doing what, again, assimilating all the books. And back in Genesis, I find out they did not start out that way. When God told Abram this, he laughed. Sarah overheard it, and she laughed. God heard it. By the way, Isaac was the name Isaac, the baby. God told him what to name the baby. Name him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. God had the last laugh. Isn't that great? But the point is, they didn't start out strong in faith. They're just like me. They're looking at the natural in the beginning. I'm 100 years old. I'm not the hot rod I used to be. My wife is not even ovulating anymore. God, are you sure? Well, in the beginning, God, are you sure? Give everything away free. What? Don't send out appeal letters. How will anybody know what we need? Don't take up offerings. What? See, and the problem is, I had the same problem as Abraham. Don't know him all that well yet. Just don't know him all that well. And Abraham knew him pretty well. But listen, when you're 100 years old and your wife's 90 and she's not ovulating and you're not the hot rod anymore, this looks impossible. Well, it looked impossible for us too. Now, all of this I've taught so many times before, so let's bring it home today. It's today's lesson. Today, I've been at this now over a quarter century. I have my natural brain has, going through the sequence. Back in the beginning, I had hope because God said, okay. Boy, when we stepped out to obey what he said, regardless, when we finally did, regardless of all the doubts my natural brain was just throwing, it just will not work, you're going to fail, you're going to live under a bridge, you're going to be wearing gunny sacks, you're going to go bankrupt, on and on it went. We decided, sink or swim. My wife, Sue, told me, she said, I want you to obey God. If it winds up not working, we wind up wearing gunny sacks, living under a bridge, I will be with you. I have me a wife, let me tell you. But I remember that warfare. It was more like Abraham in the beginning. Oh, God. You know? But then we had hope. We knew what he said. We stepped out on that. At first, it looked like it was not working. And that seems to always be the case. There's tribulation that comes against you. And it's because we live in a fallen world and the darkness, and you start obeying God, trust me, you're going to get a target on your back anyway. And hell is going to come against you trying to stop you. That's where patience. It's exactly this sequence. Hope. God said, let's step out and obey him. Trouble. What do you got to do during the trouble? Endure. You got to have patience. Endurance is the key. We're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. Yeah, but it looks like. But we're not going to quit. Yeah, but now it really looks like. We're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. And then one day, you're going to have experience. You're going to have manifestation. I still remember the day that guy came, and he didn't know any of the troubles we're going through. But God had sent him, told him to write us a check, caught all of our bills up, and we had money left over in a single day. Now, that was a matter of a few thousand dollars. If I remember right, 3,000 roughly. Hey, it was a long time ago. Have mercy on me. If you hear this on a previous message, that one's correct. It's been a long time. Maybe roughly $3,000 if I remember right. God, if we had to believe him for a lot more than that over the years, you know. But experience, when that experience came, see, my mind, my natural brain, was there for that experience. When the check came, and here it is, I'm holding it in my hand, and then we put it in the bank, and then we pay all the bills, get current, and had some left over. Even my natural brain said, oh, well, that happened. Experience. And what does that do? That sets you up for the next hope. Did you know that Abraham, after Isaac was born and eventually Sarah passed away and he remarried, you know, he had 6 more kids? Oh, I see how this works now. Plus, he had the ultimate child. Through his line came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Ooh, can't even, if I start going there, woo, hallelujah. All right. But do you, and see verse 5 of Romans 5 now, Romans 5, 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed and abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You're getting to know your Father. Oh, I started to say this. So in the early days, it was very much like Abraham, full of fear, with fear and trembling. We're going to step out and obey God. We heard God. We know what he said. My natural, we had to overcome. You just have to, natural 3.5 gray matter, get off the horse. Get down here and walk alongside. You're just the helper. You're going to do what I tell you. We are going to obey God. Trouble. And that thing that down on this ground, even you're going to fail. It's not going to work. But you have patience and you endure, and eventually you have experience. And the servant, even the servant goes, well, son of a gun, that worked. Huh? And there's a neural pathway created in your natural brain that, but it's only there because you obeyed a supernatural hope. Does that make sense to you? That you would never have that pathway had you never stepped out in the supernatural to obey that hope. It first came from God. Man, that's good preaching right there. I'm about to have a running fit. God is writing neural pathways on our brains. Now, see, I've been at this over 25 years now. We have had so many opportunities where it looks like it's still not going to work. He's asking you to do something more. I remember when he told us in the very beginning, another ministry, well, it was Dave Roberson Ministries. They volunteered to make all of our tapes for us for free. And that went on for quite a while. Then God one day tells me, okay, fine, that's really been good. Start giving bigger offerings to them, but I want you to buy your own equipment. I want you to do them yourself. What? Because those machines were hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and we had to get three of them. Then we had to get a mailing machine, you know, where it prints postage and all of that. And we had to have employees. Got to have space. Got to have postage. I mean, over these years, there has been more and more. But see, what happens, you hear God. You make the decision with the vertical mind, your spiritual mind. I heard what he said. We're going to do that. Trouble is going to come. Tribulation, problems. There's a target on your back now. And circumstances are going to come to make it look like that's not going to work. But you have patience. You endure. And you're going to have experience. God's going to come through if you don't quit. God will come through because he cannot lie. Okay? He works with his word to confirm it. And you'll come through. And when that experience comes, you not only get that in your spiritual mind, you get that in your you get that in your 3.5 pound gray matter right here. And a pathway, I'm telling you, I've been at this over 25 years. I have such a neural highway when it comes to him providing for us. I have a relationship with him as my father, who he will provide for Gary and Sue no matter what. I mean, there's a 10 lane super highway of dendrites in my brain that tells me he will provide. I don't care now what he asks me to do. I've almost tried to worry in the recent years. You tell me something, it's almost like, oh, we need to worry about this. And it's almost, there's such a highway in my own brain now of dendrites and neural pathways. It goes, oh, shut up. You've already seen him deliver us about 10,000 times. He's not going to fail you now. Just go ahead and get some sleep. He's going to be up all night working on your problem anyway, because God never sleeps or slumbers. So you see this pattern. And this is what happened with Abraham. He had to persevere. In the natural, there was no hope. And I'm telling you, very often that's the case. In the natural, I see we're believing for a supernatural revival. I have seen all kinds of things, and you have too, probably, by the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for every healing I've ever seen. I thank God for every, especially through Pastor Dave, and that's just where we, but I've seen so many cripples get out of wheelchairs. How many people, deaf people, have received hearing in his services? I've seen it with my own eyes, people's teeth in our services here in Tulsa with Dave, but when he would minister, he had an anointing for teeth. God would supernaturally put silver and gold fillings in their teeth. Now, I've seen it with my own eyes. You came too late. There are highways. I have highways, neural pathways in my brain because my brain, my natural eyes saw it. They didn't have that filling before. They've got it now. And you know, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, if you looked really close at that filling, there would be a cross in the middle of it. Just an amazing thing. Not always, but I've seen it more than once. One time in India, when Dave was ministering over there, he was ministering with somebody else, a well-known name in India. Anyway, there were hundreds of thousands of people. It was an open-air type meeting, you know. And when Dave prayed, he said over 5,000 people received fillings in their teeth in one prayer. Now, when you're natural, put yourself in the place of one of those people. You came, you had, man, you got cavities, you get toothache or whatever, you know, and it's been that way. You come to this meeting and this man up there prays in the name of Jesus and you feel something and maybe, you know, somebody has a mirror and you look and there's gold and silver fillings in your teeth that were not there 5 minutes before. Don't tell me a neural pathway is not created in your brain. It is too, supernaturally. That came by experience, all right, but it's the operation of God. This is why it gets easier and easier and easier, not only to obey Him, but your hope gets higher and higher and higher. And I thank God for all of the things that I have seen with my natural eye, mainly through Pastor Dave. Now, we've seen some. I've seen people. I actually saw one person get healed of cancer when I was still smoking. I mean, you talk about the love of God, the mercy of God. I wasn't even free of smoking. My nicotine-stained fingers, and He still moved and healed that person. You talk about the gifts of the Spirit now. That's the gifts of the Spirit. But I thank God for everything we've seen. But see, what He's calling us to now, none of us, the only place you've seen it is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's what I call Jesus meetings. See, again, we're going back to our hypothetical man. There's a message that I teach fairly frequently where I go back to the book of Matthew and I take 7 separate Jesus meetings out of the book of Matthew. I stay in that book so you know we're not duplicating the same meeting twice. And 7 times it either says He healed them all, or it says something like they brought all sick unto Him and He healed them. Them who? Well, them all that they brought. So we said, well, what if somebody decided they were going to go to all 7 of those meetings? And it's just a Joe Public, a Mary Wallpaper. But they went to the first one and they saw with their natural eye, every single person that came to Jesus got healed. Don't tell me. Neural pathways are not being created there. They are. They saw it with their own eyes, and that's how the gray matter works. Wow. He didn't turn away one of them. Some of them were nice people. Some of them I know. Some of them are not so nice people. This one, I know he yelled at his wife this morning, and he came to that meeting and got healed, you know. All of them. He didn't turn away a single one. Wow, I'm going to go to the next meeting. He goes to the next meeting, and maybe there's hundreds get in and, you know, Jesus lays His hands on them or speaks to whatever, but every single one that came for healing, every single one of them gets healed. That's 2 meetings in a row. And what if he goes to all 7? By that time, at some of those meetings, it says great multitudes. Why? You know, that describes when he fed the 5,000, you know, with the loaves and fishes, counting wives and children, there might have been, 10, 15,000 people. How many sick did they bring? Hundreds and hundreds. By the time you've been to all 7 of those meetings, if you had a sick cousin that was really sick, what would you go tell your sick cousin? I have been to the Jesus meetings. I went to 7 of them. I'm here to tell you, He did not turn a single one away. Everyone who came to the Jesus meeting got healed. And I'm telling you, my cousin, if you'll let me bring you, if you'll come to Jesus at the next meeting, if you'll come to the Jesus meeting, you will be healed. See, we've not been forceful like that because we haven't seen that with our own eyes. The Holy Spirit has been recently talking to me about the Apostle Paul, because he was not hand-trained like the 11 were. The 11, even before they were born again, had neural pathways created in their brain because Jesus put his mantle basically on them, even though they weren't born again. But the Holy Spirit was commissioned, because they went in his name. So the Holy Spirit was commissioned to do signs. He told them, heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, cast out devils. He told them. So when they went to do those things in his name, the Holy Spirit worked through them, and they were amazed. You know, I could just hear the surprise in their voice. It's almost like, Lord, did you know? Even the devils, when we spoke in your name, did you know? The devils, Lord, they had to obey us in your name. And he's like, I don't know if Jesus did eye rolls, but sometimes I see him doing one. You know, it's like, I saw him cast out of heaven a long time ago. And while you were out there, I saw him. I could see in the spirit. I knew you were casting him out. Don't rejoice at this. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. And well, that's the number one thing we all rejoice in. But it's not wrong to rejoice too about it. Do you mean when I spoke in your name, devils have to obey what I say? Jesus told them, those that believe, the first thing, those that believe in my name, those that believe, hello, believer, those that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. With the 11, they had seen, I say 11, I know there's 12 of them, and really there were 72, okay? But they had seen it with their own eyes, the power of God flowing through their own hands, the authority when they spoke, devils had. Every time that happened, every time, boom, another neural pathway experience. He sent them out. He told them what to do. Hope. They haven't seen it yet, but he sent them. He said, well, they'd seen it, do it through him. But now he's saying, God, the Holy Spirit is going to do it through you. Okay. You know, first time out, they've got hope. They're obeying God. Don't you know? They're with thoughts going through their brain. I've seen it happen when he spoke. I've never seen it happen when I spoke. I saw him get healed when he laid hands. I've never seen it happen when I lay hands. But he told me to go do it, so we're going to go do it. Hope. No, you know, got to endure. But then when it happened, experience, when it happened through their hands, that's how the natural brain works. Oh, he wasn't kidding. Neural pathways are now created in their natural brain. Oh, this, sure enough, what he said, it happened. We have experience now. See, and that produces more hope for the next time. But that's how it was. I know they already had natural pathways like that in their brain later when they got born again, especially then when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and boom, the deal's on. But he's dealt with me about the Apostle Paul, see, because Paul was saved long after all of those events. Jesus had already been gone to heaven for several years, roughly eight or nine years before Paul had his experience. When at that time he was Saul, had his experience on the road to Damascus. Now, he had an experience all right, and it changed him forever. And a man named Ananias, if I'm saying that right, he came because God sent him. The Lord appeared to him, said, I want you. Saul has seen a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him, that he'd receive his sight and so forth, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, anyway, Paul was not hand-trained in the same way by Jesus. He was not there during those days he wasn't part of the company of the 12 or the 72. In fact, it was 8 or 9 years after Jesus rose from the dead before Saul had his experience on the road to Damascus. And so, but immediately after he gets saved, Saul starts preaching and he stirs up a lot of controversy, and eventually they have to, you know, kind of put him aside for a while. He has to go, and he spent about 3.5 years pretty much alone being trained by the, now here's the point, he was trained by the Holy Ghost. But see, He never had the natural experience first, like the 11. He never had those neural pathways created in his gray matter by experience while Jesus was still on the earth. Well, how did he come to faith? He was trained by the Holy Spirit. One time I was complaining to the Lord, and I kind of, you know, my lower lip was interfering with the gas pedal, you know. I was kind of all down that day, you know. This just isn't fair, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the 12, I mean, they all got to walk with you. Well, not Luke, but anyway, they all got to walk with you and be hand-trained by you, and they got to hear your voice directly from your lips, and I don't have that experience, and I'm just being down on myself. And then, you know, complaining. It's not good to do that, I'm being very transparent with you. Anyway, eventually the Holy Ghost says, well, what about the Apostle Paul? He didn't hear directly from the lips of Jesus either. He wasn't hand-trained like that. He wasn't one of the 11. Yet Paul, he came to know Jesus better than Peter, who was hand-trained by Jesus. Now, I thought about that. I said, you know, that's right, because Peter, he was the one that kind of got into some error and was only going to eat kosher food, you know, type thing. Paul, he come to the point, he knew better than Peter. Paul had to correct Peter, but Paul wasn't hand-trained by Jesus. Peter was. And then the Holy Ghost, he just burst all my doubt bubbles, because, you know, he says, well, Paul was trained by the same teacher you have. Dagger through the heart of excuses right there. Oh, my God. Yeah, Paul had exactly the same. He had the scriptures, and he had the Holy Spirit. Yet he walked in all of the same anointings as the 12. And he actually came to where he knew Jesus better than Peter, because he was the one that had to correct Peter. Oh, my God. You talk about having no excuses. So I've asked the Lord recently, because I know he's bringing us into the supernatural revival. And this is one of the reasons why during the first hour of prayer for me personally every day, he still has given me this instruction. I'm still doing it today. The first hour while I'm praying, I listen to the MP3 from Pastor Bronc Flint's website. I think it's broncflint.org. Right on the home, right on the face page, you scroll down just a little and you'll see the blueprint, the 2020 blueprint, which is an MP3. It's a little over an hour long. But the Lord has instructed me personally. I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm just telling you he's instructed me personally to listen to that every morning during that first hour of prayer and not be doing a bunch of other stuff either. Listen to it. And, you know, I didn't know, none of us knew when we started on this that it was going to take so long. But listening to that blueprint every time and paying attention, not just having, you know, you can play stuff and not even really have attention to it. He said, pay attention. What that does every time, it repaints that hope in me. Plus, it reminds me of our instructions, what to do. But it paints that hope again. Things like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be seen again in the earth. So many things he said in there that, you know, the same works we're going to do also. And none of these things can be accomplished without prayer and fasting. And you're going to find that when that authority, when you speak and it happens because of the authority, that's going to come about because of your faithfulness to prayer. Over so many things in that hour reminds my natural mind again, hope. It's hope. Hope again. It encourages me. Hey, listen, my natural, are you kidding? I have a gray matter no different than yours, and it wants to pity party. It wants to get discouraged. It wants to, it's always getting me trying to look at the natural. Look, well, if Abraham, that's exactly what Abraham had to not do. He couldn't be looking at his 99-year-old body and his wife's 90-year-old body and considering all the circumstances and, boy, this isn't working and I can't perform and she can't produce. And look at us now, and we've had this promise all these years and it hadn't happened. And what makes me think it's going to happen now? Listen, the gray matter is the gray matter. And it's a calculator, but it's not supposed to be running your life. You are a spirit person born of God. The Holy Ghost has come to give you your instructions. You are the ones with the reins on the of the horse. You're the ones that set the direction of your life based on what God said. And you, just like Abraham, you cannot consider all of these negative things, all of these natural things. Against hope, you've got to believe in hope. What hope? What God said. And if you haven't played that blueprint in a while, you ought to play it and listen to it, you rascal. Pay attention. God's not kidding. With that, he has painted a masterpiece for us of what he intends to do. And I'm telling you right now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is going to be restored in the earth. The world is going to be astonished at what they see in the services. Real Jesus meetings are going to happen again. And what happens when you have a Jesus meeting, thank God for the gifts, but it's beyond the gifts. This is where every person gets what they come for, just like they did in Jesus' meetings, first time, every time, no exceptions. And when you so many of you have tasted of experience on a very small level, and that has encouraged you and given you hope for the future. But press on. Continue doing those things that I have instructed you to do, for your experience will, you'll have another experience, and that will lead to the next experience, and that will lead to the next experience. And soon you will flow in these things just naturally. As I have spoken in that blueprint, it will become natural to you. It will become a flow. It will become so easy. You'll wonder why you ever thought it was so hard, because now it just flows, because the neural pathways, even in your natural brain, will agree, God does what he says. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm about to have a running fit myself. This is no time to be giving up and giving in and let your emotions have our little pity parties. Listen, my soul wants its pity parties too. You got to tell it, shut up. Go worship God. Play that blueprint. Pray in tongues, you outfit. Push away from the table, son. He still got me on a certain fasting schedule. My body doesn't like it one little bit. And that's just too doggone bad. That's too bad. You're going to eat when I tell you you can eat, you rascal. Get out on the Sunday, Kiando. Man, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. It is a peace, yes, sir. I'm hearing now this peace that passes all understanding. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There is a peace that I remember the turmoil of the early days during the tribulating part when he told us, again, gave us our instructions, and boy, it sure looked like it wasn't going to work. And I mean, it was turmoil. I'll be honest with you. There was a constant war in my brain going on between the spiritual mind, which knew what God said, and my natural 3.5 gray matter brain that knew what the world says. And these two are not compatible. That's why a double-minded man won't receive anything from God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have that you don't hear those doubts. I heard them all the time. What makes you double-minded is when you yield to the doubt. I never did do it. I came close. I'll be honest with you. It got so bad. It got so bad this one time. I mean, it looked like certain, financially I'm talking, you know, over the years. I mean, it looked for sure like we're going under. And I mean, it looked like we're on the Titanic and it's already, you know, we're headed down. I'm telling you, my mind, my natural 3.5 pound brain just kept creating appeal letters. I wasn't doing it on purpose, but I would catch myself composing an appeal letter in my mind. And, you know, you can make an appeal letter and not make it sound like an appeal letter. You know, I'm just sharing with you. But all these, it's just the natural man. And be honest with you, it's the natural man wanting to produce a Hagar. How can we do this? What can we do in the natural to fix this? That's what Abraham and Sarah did with Hagar and produced an Ishmael. And dear God, that's, again, that's still causing the whole world problems even to this day. And I would catch myself, see, Well, Gary, you weren't in faith. I was in tribulation. I was in the tribulation part. To be not in faith is if I would have actually written that letter, printed it, mailed it out, sent it. Now I'm in disobedience. Nope, never did do that. And even if I, now listen, even if I had, I know him well enough now. Listen, parents, first time your kid ever made a mistake, said, well, that's it. Kick him out the door. You're not my kid anymore. What do? You love them. You teach them. You correct them. You help them. And you watch them grow. Well, that's, even if you do make a mistake, just start again. Ask forgiveness and he'll forgive you. 1 John 1:9. I'm not going to take it out of my Bible. I'm not going to take it out of my life. I'll tell you for sure. 1 John 1:9. But anyway, we never did send out. Boy, you know, God began moving supernaturally without us doing anything. We never sent out an appeal letter. We never let anybody know we was in trouble. Now, my employees knew. at that time, we had 1, 2, 3 paid employees and 1 volunteer working for us. Tried to pay her, but she wouldn't take it. So 3 employees. Now, you know, when they don't get paid, they know something's up. They always got paid. Might have been 2 or 3 days late. But I mean, it was like that, you know. And boy, it looked bad. And I'm telling you, that servant that's supposed to be walking alongside the horse, he's trying to climb up on that horse. He's trying to take the control of the reins. We are going to send out an appeal letter. We're going to let. And I had, get back down, shut up. It wasn't quite like that, but almost. Now I look at it now in hindsight, it was like that. But we never did. See, and that's the endurance part. That's the person, when you've done all to stand there for. Stand. Keep doing what he said. Don't give in. Don't surrender. He began moving. I've taught this before, but things that had never happened. First, from another country, we got a gift electronically through the website. Please forgive me. These numbers, it's been so long ago. It was in the thousands. I think it was $5,000 was the first one. And I looked up the giving records of this person. He'd never given more than $500 before. I honestly thought he'd made a mistake. You know, you got to enter all that on the computer to do it. And I thought, well, maybe he added an extra zero. Just he doesn't even realize what he did or something. So I arranged the time. You know, in Australia, they're like 13, 14, 15 hours different from us. And I had to call him early in the morning our time to get him at the right time for him. And I got him on the phone. I said, man, I'm afraid you might have made a mistake. I mean, did you really intend to send $5,000? And you could hear this voice of relief on the other side. He went, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. He said, yeah, no, I intended to send $5,000. And I went, why? Because, you know, I mean, I said, why in the world did you do that? He said, oh, I've been saving up. That was the beginning. Within a week or so, we got one from another person for $7,000. Never had we received. I mean, to us, a $100 gift was a big gift. You know, $50 was big, huge. Most of them were still 10, 20, you know, 50 bucks, you know. And we got 5,000 from the first one, 7,000. That continued on till everything was paid completely, no debt whatsoever, had our nostrils above water. And that experience produced hope. So now we can even believe God for bigger things. It's amazing. And let's go through it one more time. I hope you're still in Romans 5. I'm getting close to the end here. Notice, starting Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, notice the sequence. And rejoice in hope. It starts with hope, just like with Abraham. It starts with hope. What did God say? There is your hope. Okay. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Problems. It always, or nearly always, comes that you're going to have to, there's going to be a standing time. There's going to be a fighting time. part of it is just living in this fallen world. Everything seems to be flowing opposite of the way God wants to go, you know. But part of it, too, is there's a target on your back when you start obeying God. But anyway, normally there's tribulation of some kind. But that, see, that works patience. That's where you've got to endure. You got to be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, becoming. They didn't start off this way, but they became strong in faith, partly because God changed their name and they had to say about themselves what God said. They weren't allowed to say something else. I am Abraham. In Hebrew, that means every time you say that, I am the father of a multitude. They're speaking in line with the hope. They're calling those things which be not as though they already are. You've heard lessons on all this before, but that's the patience part. But if you stand and you keep standing, even though those doubts, I know what it is. That natural brain is sending doubts like machine gun bullets, but you stand anyway. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to do what God said. And eventually that's going to produce experience. And when that experience comes, now you have a neural pathway that did not exist before, but it got there supernaturally because you obeyed God. And even your natural brain says, that happened. I was there. That happened. Okay. And that's going to produce more hope for the next time. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you. Listen, we're on a journey into the greatest revival the world has ever seen. No, I haven't seen it yet. I have not yet ever been to a Jesus meeting where every single person that came received their healing. I've seen some healed and some not get healed. That's not our future. That's not the hope God has painted with a very wonderful brush in my brain, in my spiritual mind, and in your spiritual mind. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to be restored in the earth. We're going to see Jesus meetings again. You're going to be right in the thick of it, where every person that comes gets what they came for, first time, every time, no exceptions, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't give up. This is the patience time. This is the endurance time. And it will produce experience. Glory to God. Love you so much. See you again next time. Bye-bye for now.